This morning's worship time, or message time, is going to be a little different. And if John seems a little stressed out this morning, it's my fault. I've almost had a little fun with John, and that John is a very organized ABC kind of guy, and I'm not. And as we decided to share this time together, those personalities have kind of had a struggle. And we both kind of grown a little bit. But we've wanted to do this. So this is something that John and I have came together and wanted to just take some time to welcome and dedicate Nathan and Chandra's ministry with us. And so with that, I'm going to open it up to John.
Thought it'd probably be good to do it this way. That way I can say a few things, and then the things that I skip over and forget to do because I can't read that fast, Rick can fill in maybe and take care of things as well. He's much more the talker than I. I'm lucky if I can string together three or four sentences, so this is certainly a stretch for me. We really didn't think it was fair that we get Nathan and Chandra moved in here in the middle of the week and then expect Nathan to share with us this morning in preparing a sermon. I know he had 10 hours on the road. He could have just been thinking, okay, this is how I'm going to do this, this, and this, and this. But didn't really think it was real fair for him to do that. And I guess in talking to him yesterday, he did share that he would probably share with us after we get done. And he only wanted 20 or 25 minutes, so we'll see how that works.
We should have lunch by 2 easy.
Yeah, no problem. As Rick and I talked and prayed and had some input from other people about what to do and how to do today, we were led to the idea of having this dedication service and for Nathan and Chandra. We tend to forget that Chandra is going to be very much a part of this ministry to us here at Bangor Liberty. And so if I just say Nathan sometimes, I'm meaning Nathan and Chandra, so want to keep that in mind. But we felt it very important to do this. I don't know that we've ever done it before. It just, when the thought finally came, it seemed to make so much sense that in comparing especially to parents with newborn children, they bring them forward to be dedicated up front. They come to dedicate the child to the Lord. They come as parents to dedicate themselves to raising that child in the way the Lord should have them do that. And then at the end, we as a congregation dedicate ourselves to helping fulfill that mission that they're dedicating themselves to and filling in the gaps and helping to teach them through Sunday school, through being an example, through sharing an open worship, so that they can see how our lives are formulated, how we respond and how we worship God. So just looking at that analogy, and again, don't want to take that too far, comparing Nathan to a baby, but he is, and they are just coming into a new chapter in their life as far as ministry is concerned. They have been in a ministry, as all of us, as Quakers, we believe we are all in ministry. But this is their first full-time pastor ministry. And so, in a sense, it really is a new beginning. And we wanted to try to look at that and to understand what it is that they have put themselves into, what we have asked them to come to do, and how to do that. I guess I kind of struggled with the words to use in this. We've used dedication. Someone mentioned that we really needed to have the word welcome in there, and I think that's very important that we do welcome them into our church family. Another word that came up is commissioning. Was used for Wes Blanchard as he went to become a pastor at the Indianola Friends here just the last couple of weeks, commissioning him as a pastor, going into something new at the first time. Not sure how to bring that next one in right now, so I'll skip that, and maybe Rick will pick that one up. And he doesn't know what I'm talking about because we didn't talk about that much. But I did have the privilege of witnessing some of Nathan's ministry as he shared as a youth, teenager in the yearly meeting. Some of the worship that he led, I can remember Banquet in particular, where he and several others shared in the music for us. So I'm a little familiar with that. And last month, I did share with you as a congregation when we had our called monthly meeting to whether we wanted to call Nathan, shared some of those references that we had gotten from individuals and to see some of those gifts that have continued to grow in him and how he and his wife would be a good pastor team for us. And I was led about halfway through our search process, was led to share in one of our search committee meetings some scripture, and that is taken out of 1 Timothy 3. It's 1 through 7, and it describes the leadership qualifications. And again, this was even before we had even had Nathan's name before us, but just to help us kind of formulate what it was that we were looking for in a pastor. So I'll read those now and help get those in our mind as an introduction to what we would expect as a pastor. It is a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the office of overseer, it is a fine work he desires to do. An overseer, then, must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not addicted to wine or pugnacious, not even sure what that means, but gentle, uncontentious, free from the love of money. He must be one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. But if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God? And not a new convert, lest he become conceited and fall into the condemnation incurred by the devil. and he must have a good reputation with those outside the church so that he may not fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. And from what I know and what I've heard, I believe Nathan does fit this scripture. And I'm sure he has areas where he needs to grow. We all have areas where we need to grow. And to start a new metaphor, I guess, we started out with comparing to the baby dedication. Taking this foundation in this scripture and building on that foundation, and how to do that so that he can do the job that he has felt led to do, that we have felt led to invite him to do, and more importantly, what God has set for him to do. And we just want to make sure that we can help him and Chandra build on those gifts that he already has. And I have pretty much run out of my notes. We'll turn it over to Rick.
We were supposed to have an hour.
Hour?
Yeah. Well, I hope you don't close your Bibles, because as we were talking, we did this, started separately, and then we kind of got them together, and not surprisingly, we both ended up in Timothy. And so if you've still got your Bibles open, just switch to 1 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 16. And I'm sharing out of the Message because I like the way the Message reads. You have been raised on the message of the faith and have followed sound teaching. Now pass on this counsel to the followers of Jesus there, and you will be good servant of Jesus. Stay clear of silly stories and get dressed up as religion. Exercise in God. No spiritual flabbiness, please. Workouts in the gymnasium are useful, but a disciplined life in God is far more so, making you fit both today and forever. You can count on this. Take it to heart. This is why you've been throwing yourselves into this venture so totally. We're banking on the living God, Savior of all men and women, especially the believers. Get the word out. Teach all these things, and don't let anyone put you down because you're young. Teach believers with your life, by word, by demeanor, by love, by faith, and by integrity. Stay at your post, reading scriptures, giving counsel and teaching, that they have a special gift of ministry, for you have given what, and that the special gifts of ministry that you were given when the leaders of the church laid hands on you and prayed, keep them dusted off and in use. Paul gives good advice, and I don't intend to try and imply that I could better that. Timothy was a minister that was young, starting out, and he needed those words, and Nathan certainly is going to be in that same boat. As John and I were discussing this, it became very apparent to us that this is a new chapter. We've got a lot of nostalgia here. We've started out some young pastors, Eugene Wolfley, Dave Lewis. And I was curious, how many of you were here when Dave Lewis started? I just was curious how many of you who were here. There's a few, but less than a dozen. You'll remember what it was like to bring a young pastor into a church and start him out.
And he was from Ohio.
Okay. This is getting scary. He was from Ohio. I did not know that. So you know what that's like. But you know, John and I, as leaders of the church now, we realize we have not been in that position. We've never had a young man right out of college willing to start out in his ministry. And this is new to us. And certainly new to Nathan and Chandra. This is very much new chapters in all of our lives. And as a church body, we're all going to be learning. And there's a few thoughts that the Lord laid on my heart. One, Nathan and Chandra have already heard the name Dave Lewis. And I'm a fond man of he's got a fondness in my heart because I was saved under that man's ministry. So there's very few ministers that are going to meet Dave Lewis in my eyes. And the thing that the Lord shared with me is that do not expect Nathan to be Dave Lewis. Do not expect him to be Eugene Woofley. Do not expect him to be any other pastor other than Nathan McCracken, because that's who he is. And God has given him special talents and special gifts, and his ministry is going to be unique to Nathan and Chandra. They are going to bring us a new style of worship, a new way of looking at things that we have not experienced before, because God has given it to them uniquely. And I think that's wonderful. And yeah, that means a little bit of change, and change can always be a little uncomfortable. But as I was told by someone who was much older than me, you quit changing when you die. And using that as a thought, I thought, well, I guess maybe it's time for me to continue changing, at least a little bit. So as I'm a little nervous about some of these changes, I'm very excited about some of them. Because Nathan and Chandra are going to be able to share with us insights and abilities that we have not had before. They're going to see things in us that other people have never seen. They're going to see gifts that maybe we have overlooked. They're going to be able to see areas that we can grow that we hadn't considered before. And we're going to be able to help them in their growth as ministers. They're young. And as several people have shared with me, including his mother, he's going to need help. There's no question. They are young. They are going to need our help. And that's why this dedication service is so important, because it's not going to be your clerks of monthly meeting and clerks of ministering council that make their ministry. It's going to be you and us as a team and as a body and as a family that are going to build these young couple up into their ministry. We are going to lift them up. We're going to support them. And as I was thinking about that and the advice that they're going to need and the insights that we're going to be able to share with them, I was reminded of a trip that I made to Oskaloosa with John Raines here a while back going to BOC. And John and I were discussing the ability to criticize. And we had a long hour and a half discussion about just that topic. And it was a unique conversation because it gave me some insight that I hadn't had before. And I want to share that with you. Oftentimes, when I'm criticized, I feel defensive. And oftentimes, I feel that someone expects something out of me that I'm not. And too often, that criticism comes across negatively. And as John and I were discussing that, it gave me the opportunity to explore criticism versus advice. And I want to share what God has laid on my heart in that regards. Criticism is always spoken out of disappointment. Someone did not meet my expectations. They failed in an area that I felt they shouldn't have. That's criticism. Criticism is always received as just that. You have failed. You have not met my expectations. You are not where you should be. And it shouldn't be surprising then that we have the reaction we do have to criticism. On the other hand, advice, insight, is always given out of love. It's always going, here's an area that you can do better in. Here's an area that I feel strongly that can be improved in your life. It's said in love, and it's received in love. And each and every one of us have been in the experience of receiving criticism, and we've been given advice. And we each and every one of us know the difference of how criticism feels and advice feels. Let us be mindful, because Nathan is going to need a lot of advice. And Chandra, they're going to need a lot of insight from us, because some of us are older than them. In fact, most of us are older than you are. And we do have a lot of life experiences to share with you. But let us always voice them in the attitude of love, so that they can be received and loved, and not in a critical sense. We have been given a mission here. Just as Nathan and Chandra have been given a mission to minister to us, we have been given a mission to minister to them. And our ministry is no less important than their ministry. Where they go in their spiritual walk, in their lives, will be impacted by what happens here at Bangor Liberty and their time with us, and I hope it to be a long time. But whatever time the Lord has prepared for us together, we are going to have that impact. We're going to be able to build on that ministry. And to that point, we as Christians have that responsibility to share in building them up, guiding them, as much as they have that responsibility from God to share and guide us. It's a mutual thing, as in a family always is. There's very rarely a family that I know that has one individual who does all the thinking and all the planning and all of their different gifts are given to each body member. Exercise your gifts. If it's generosity, if it's encouragement, whatever your gift is, do it generously. Give it generously. As we prepare to share together in Nathan and Chandra's ministry, I'm excited. I've heard the references, and many of you who weren't on the pastoral search committee, who weren't subject to some of the conversations that we had, and some of them were just wonderful. I had the unique opportunity of spending an hour and a half on the phone with his last employer, and we had a wonderful conversation. And Joe Weaver is a man that I would welcome into this congregation in leadership any moment of any time, because he's a man of God. And the conversation we had about Nathan was very insightful, very full of wisdom, but it was also a fellow Christian. And I got to see a little bit of Nathan's background. Some of the people that have been impacting Nathan's life in the last 4 years. And I'm here to tell you that's a positive influence. His mom's here. Most of you know Sue. You know the impact that she's had on his life, the leadership that she supplied. So we have that wonderful opportunity of knowing a little bit about Nathan, but we're going to learn a lot more. And we're going to watch them blossom as ministers of the Lord. And that's why John and I felt so strongly that a time of dedication, a time of preparing to come before the Lord as a body and as a family, not just as a formal body, but as a family, that we're welcoming you into this body to take the position that we've asked you to fill and that God is going to prepare you and gift you to do in our body. And that's all I have to share. Nathan, would you like to come share something?
Well, it's definitely good to be here. It's been a pretty eventful week. And Rick's right. We're learning stuff. And so far, I've learned that a 12-hour trip, two parents, a baby, a toddler, a stressed-out sister-in-law, and a very nervous dog don't make for a fun trip. We're trying to get settled in. We're coming along pretty well. My sister-in-law, Kayla, is here. She's going to be here. So if you see her around for the next couple of weeks, help and take care of the kids. Some of you may have met my dog. His name is Bentley. He's a really nice dog. He's kind of into shedding right now because he's still kind of nervous. So if you see a little white balls of hair rolling around, don't worry. He's okay. We were singing the hymn, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, this morning. And it is kind of a hectic time right now. You know, we're trying to move into a new place. We tried to pack up everything, all of our memories. You know, the first 4 years of our marriage were in that little apartment where we raised our kids so far, and everything that we've collected. And when we got to the chorus, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And as we were singing that, I looked up, and that little stained glass window just got so bright. And I don't know if anybody else noticed it either, but there's just a peace and a calmness that comes over you when you get yourself back, and you get yourself back centered on Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful thing. And I'd like to, special thanks to everybody who's helped us out so far, and for everybody who will. I know Ray moved us out, brought a truck out, or supplied a truck, and that was just wonderful. And everybody who's brought food, who cleaned the house, who painted the house. Rick, for spending so much time with me and John. They were there too late Thursday. When we moved in. So for everybody who's helped out. And I had some more things to say, but I don't really remember them. So, oh, wait, yes, I do. I just wanted to kind of say where we've been on this journey with Bangor Liberty. It started about 7-8 months ago. And Sean and I felt the calling. We said, okay, we're moving to Iowa for some reason. There's a ministry. We don't know when. We don't know where. We don't know what it is. And I talked to Ron Bryan. I said, Ron, we're called to move. What do you have for us? And he says, well, Bangor Liberty is looking for a senior pastor. I said, Ron, what else do you have for me? Because that just didn't fit. I didn't think it fit me. He's like, Ron, I need more training. I need more time. Yeah, I want to be a pastor. I feel I'm called to it. But isn't there some more requirements that I have to meet before we can do that? And so I said, you know, there's some other jobs. Fairfield Friends looking for an associate. You know, Rick Garrison's job, they're going to split it. So the youth coordination job, that's coming up. You could do that by a vocational. I thought, well, that's it. I'm going to come out. And most of you know, I was a trim carpenter for the past 4 years. And I said, well, I'm going to trim, and I'm going to do that because that fits my gifts perfectly. And through all the chaos and everything, you know, we checked out Fairfield Friends. We checked out everything. And when it came down to it, there was some chaos in our lives and in our hearts as we tried to discern God's calling. And one night I was just wrestling with it because for some reason it felt like we were supposed to come to Bangor Liberty. And it took me a little bit, just, God, where's this ministry I know you've called us to? And he said, fear is not of God. Fear is not of God. And when that hit me, I was laying in bed one night and I was just praying, trying to get everything figured out, and it hit me and everything went quiet. And God whispered, Nathan, I'm not calling you for your age because I made time. And I'm not calling you for your gifts because I am the maker of all good things and I gave them to you. I do not call the equipped, but I equip those that I call, and you are called. So as we learn, I know God will equip us, and we're here to be mentored. We're here to learn right along with you. I know that we bring a lot to the table. You know, we're young, vibrant. We are a very handsome couple. I have been told this. We are a handsome couple. But just as we know that you all have something so much to bring to us, as we learn and as we grow in this ministry. And we want to get to know each and every one of you. And as soon as we get settled in, Monday and Tuesday, I'll be working on the house. And then the rest of the week, I'll be at yearly meeting. But in the next couple of weeks, we would like to get to know you. So if we call you or if I stop by and just, you know, maybe 10, 15 minutes, I'd like to hear your story if you're comfortable telling it to me. I'd like to hear. I want to learn. We want to learn. And we are here to serve you. And we just hope that as we learn and grow together, that it will just be a fun time and a really good learning experience, and that God will have his hand on all of this as he has so far. So thank you.
Now here's the part we haven't talked about at all. I'd like to have Chandra come up. And like I say, we haven't talked about this, but again, in the baby dedication, if we want to go with that analogy, step back to that, we have parents. We have a parent. Sue, would you like to come up? Elders, want ministering council members?
Ministering council, come on up.
And just want to gather around, lay on some hands. I do believe that's biblical.
Absolutely.
And just have a prayer of dedication to them, but also have you stand as a congregation, as you understand your role in their pastorate with us, that you dedicate yourselves to pray for them, to help them in whatever ways that God leads you to do. And what more can I say? Anything else anybody else wants to share on that? Okay. Shall we pray? I suppose we want this recorded, so I better stay over here. Dear Lord, we do thank you for being who you are. You are such an awesome God. We thank you for the way that you work things together across hundreds of miles as you prepare us to receive Nathan and Chandra as the team that you have given us to be ministers, as you have prepared them through the years, not just the last year, but through the 27-some years of their lives, the way they were raised, for recognizing your call by the Holy Spirit in their lives. We just ask that you help us, each and every one of us, Nathan and Chandra, and us as a congregation, to uplift them, to be the support, loving support, that they need to have in this position that you've brought us together for. We look forward with anticipation and excitement as this ministry begins. Be with us now as we gather and fellowship together around the food that's been prepared for us by the family camp, that we can continue to have a great time of fellowship. In your name we pray. Amen.